Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Allinger, and I know some of you from past years, and there are others that I don't know this year. So I want to balance a little bit in telling you about the program that is impacted here and the impact where the elimination of this position would have on the program. I'm going to be addressing OTR number 40, which is one full-time community health nurse. I'm the director of Children with Special Care Needs at the Health Department. One of the programs within this division is the Early Intervention Program. Early Intervention is a Class A mandate program. Federally, under IDEA, the Individuals with Disability and Education Act. In New York State, early intervention is regulated by the New York State Department of Health. As a program, we must ensure compliance with, one, the U.S. Department of Education, the Office of Special Education, Federal Compliance Indicators, two, the New York State Early Intervention Program regulations, and the Early Intervention Administrative Contract with the New York State Department of Health. All of this wraps up into being a Class A mandate. All federal indicators are now monitored annually by the New York State Department of Health. I dare say we are very, very heavily regulated. Children are eligible for the Early Intervention Program from birth through age 3 who have a disability or a developmental delay. We provide evaluation and therapeutic intervention services to improve the child's development and the family's ability to care for their child. Our early intervention team consists of a division director, a team leader, and 6 dual-role service coordinators and EIODs. All service coordinators / EIODs are community health nurses and are highly skilled in the area of early child development. The service coordinator role coordinates the child's team and ensures proper service delivery. The EIOD role ensures regulatory process is followed and signs for the service plan between the family and the early intervention program. Early intervention requires that service coordinators and EIODs receive specialized training and be certified by the New York State Department of Health. Our orientation period for a service coordinator is 1 full year. Due to the volumes of regulatory guidelines, an additional year of training is needed to be considered for an EIOD status. In 2009, we serviced 500 families in early intervention. New York State currently recommends caseloads of 45 per service coordinator. This past August, our caseloads averaged in the upper 60s. As children transition to preschool services, September is our lowest caseload month. The average caseload is currently 48. As cases are added month to month, I have no doubt we will experience caseloads in the mid-70s by next summer. In addition to the increasing numbers, we have noted a significant increase in the medical and social complexity of the children and families we currently service. I'm going to get directly to the point. Without this full-time nursing position, the early intervention program will not be able to meet mandated regulatory processes or the developmental needs of the children and families that we service. There would be a devastating impact on our ability to operate the early intervention program. Noncompliance with regulatory standards in this program will lead to financial fines for the program and the county. To the best of my ability, I will answer any questions or concerns that you may have, and I don't envy you the difficult task of deciding between a program and positions.
Peter Bryan.
Will that additional position reduce the caseloads to 45?
No, it will not. It's not an additional position. This would be the elimination of a current position, which would increase caseloads probably by springtime into the 90 to 100 range.
And when you say that if this isn't granted, we'll be in violation of standards, in what sense? What would be the standard that we're violating?
There are, and I could show you, regulations that are hundreds and hundreds of pages long. We will not be able to meet, with the increased caseload, the specific timelines and all of the very specific nuances that we have to do for every process within the program.
And we currently do meet them?
Yes, we currently do.
Thank you.
Brian Dooley.
Jim, do you know which page of the big budget book this position is on? Not the OTR, but the position.
97.
Yeah, page 97, I believe.
Thank you. That was just the point.
I had Brian next.
Just real quick ones. When you say one, you're potentially losing one out of?
Staff of seven.
Seven, okay. And my other thing, and maybe this is more for Joe, is this one of the areas where we've heard discussion about the possibility of a sliding scale for the families that are serviced? In this,
for the service itself,
yes,
the provision of service itself, that's really a Sylvia question.
That idea has been proposed to the New York State Legislature multiple times. It has not passed the New York State Legislature. It is currently the practice in New York State that the services are provided at no cost to the family.
Okay, I thought I was under the understanding there was this had taken a step in that direction versus, just an annual request that's automatically
denied. NYSAC request, yeah.
Yeah. Is that true?
It's a recurring NYSAC request. It has not been enacted by the state.
Right. Okay.
Please know that we do maximize insurance and Medicaid reimbursement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Well,
if caseloads soar because we failed to grant this, is there a potential for some kind of penalty from the state?
Absolutely.
In the sense of what that would it be?
We do struggle in one particular indicator that I have presented to this board in the past about meeting a 45-day timeline from the date of referral to the date that the child is evaluated and the plan is written. Because we don't have enough evaluators in this county. Last year, the legislature asked me to call the director of early intervention in New York State and ask him what the implication would be, and he said that it would be financial fines. So I can say with all certainty that there would be financial fines if we were not able to meet mandated regulations.
Martha.
You said seven staff. I thought you said at the beginning one division leader and one team leader and six nurses.
Yes, when I was considering nurses, the team leader is also a nurse, although that's not under consideration for elimination here.
Okay.
But I have six service coordinators.
Okay, does the team leader handle cases too?
The team leader handles a caseload of 100 child find or at-risk children that are An example might be micro preemies that are in the process of growing in the hospital that we know will be coming into early intervention where we monitor them in the meantime.
Okay, so the team leader handles about 100, and you said like in 2009 you had 500 families,
mm-hmm.
so that those six service coordinators handle the 500?
Just over 400.
I thought you said in 2009 it was 500.
Well, that included the child find cases.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Pat, Carol.
The evaluations that have to be done, do we do those in-house or are they contracted to someone in the community or how does that?
We currently have contract providers that have to be approved by the New York State Department of Health specifically for early intervention, and then they have to meet our contractual requirements. I currently contract with about 7 different agencies, but the primary agency in Tompkins County for evaluations is the Francisco Racker Centers.
So when you say that we may not meet that standard of the 45 days, that's not something that additional staffing to our agency would address, correct?
I'm not asking for this at this time. If those of you that were here for the budget presentation last year, we were going to, or we had intended to put forward, to ask for an evaluation team for the health department so that we could meet that standard regularly. But I withdrew it, or we decided to withdraw it at the last moment and sit it over here because I felt that I couldn't ask for positions when we're cutting them.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Carol.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the which position these show up as on our main grid here. There are these people who have nurse training and or special education early or special education kind of training.
These are registered nurses who have a background in pediatrics, and then through the training in the early intervention program, become highly skilled in early childhood growth and development, and then are certified by New York State as service coordinators and EIODs in the early intervention program.
So is an EIOD a specialized training within the nursing, a nursing
program? Not within the nursing profession, okay, just within this program.
Okay, and then is, in terms of providing the evaluations, is there any overlap with the kind of evaluations that we heard about from the mental health department that are done to... They're looking for a supervising psychologist to work with people who do or to oversee the evaluations of kids to see what services they need. That would include a range of services. And so I'm just wondering if there's any overlap with that work.
In early intervention, we do, it doesn't overlap with the mental health department, but in early intervention, we do evaluate the psychosocial development of a child and provide services when a child does qualify in the area of mental health.
Okay, thanks.
So do I understand correctly that our nurses in this program are carrying probably at least twice or more the caseload that the state recommends?
About 50% of the year, yes.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Am I getting this right? I believe we have environmental health then.
Our next one is the team leader,
okay,
which is OTR number 41.
Excuse me, Jim, the projector is on here. Is there, going to be any use for it?
I'm sorry?
The projector has been on this whole time. Is there any use for it, or can we turn it off?
Yeah, DSS.
Got it. On the projector. Hi, no time is short. I have two OTRs that I wish to speak to you about in our other programs. One of them is OTR for the nurse team leader in community health services, and in your book, that's number 41. And I've given you great detail about what the role of this team leader does in our community health program. They do coordinate and provide nursing care to the MOMS program, Medicaid Obstetric Maternal Services, childhood lead poisoning prevention, and they case manage communicable disease. They also assist in the coverage for 24/7 communicable disease response. If we do not fill this position, the duties will fall to the supervisor and remaining team leader, who also struggle to keep up with their caseload. Services will have to be reprioritized to serve the most critical needs. Staff will have difficulty meeting the deliverables for our lead and immunization grants, and we may have funding reductions because of that. And the other thing about the team leader is that if we do not have enough coverage, we will have to eliminate admissions on the weekends and holidays, because you have to have a management person to be able to assess that case. And if we don't have it, we don't have it. So we will have to eliminate that service. And this position resides in our community health services program. Can I go ahead and speak about the next one?
Sure.
Okay. The next OTR is number 42 in your book, and it's for a half-time senior account clerk typist. This position works in our health promotion program and provides clerical support for that program and also for my position. They handle financial documents for the grant, $160,000 grant, tobacco community partnership grant, and the duties that position carries right now will fall to the higher level staff, which is not the most efficient use of their staff time. The other thing this position does is do qualitative and quantitative data collection for me and helps to coordinate the mandated training that I'm required to oversee to maintain our licenses and certification for all of our programs. So that work will fall to me and to our other remaining staff. There is an additional OTR for a physical therapist, and that is number 47 in your book, but I'm withdrawing that OTR. So because this OTR would fit and fall within the home care agency, it doesn't make sense to have that sitting out as a separate over to target request. We are able to meet the needs of that position now through a contract service that we didn't have previously. So those are the two that I'm presenting to you, the nurse team leader, number 41 and 42. We also made two other cuts in our division that we are not presenting for an OTR, and one of them is we reduced one of our nursing positions to a lower grade level, a nurse down to a case aid position to maximize the efficiencies that position can bring. And the other thing is I had volunteered to reduce my hours from 40 down to 35 hours, and we're not submitting an OTR for that. So, thanks.
Any question?
No, it's not a question. I just wanted to thank Sigrid or whoever wrote up these descriptions, because they were very comprehensive and they save us a lot of time.
Thank you. I agree. Thanks, Sigrid, for going to the cuts that were in the base budget without OTR. So I'm going to page 95 in the big book, where we've got the summary of our staff positions. And it says it's 2010, current year, 84.19 people. And 2011 will be 81. So is the 81 what's requested, if what you'd have if all the OTRs were filled, or what the request, or what Joe has funded, or what?
Kevin and I actually worked on this today, and I've given him the edits to this page. The 2010 figures total should be 81.19. There were three OTRs that were not approved last year, and they had not been updated at this point. And there were several different errors in the 2011. So okay. With the OTRs, it should total 81.42. If you subtract 5 from that, you should get 76.42. That would be our target request with 5 OTRs.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And I think Kevin is going to update that page and distribute it to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you.
Our next over-target request is a public health sanitarian, and Liz Cameron is speaking. It is OTR number 43.
Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this OTR. I know it's been a long night. I'm the Director of Environmental Health, for those of you that I haven't met before. I do respect the difficult decisions that you guys have in front of you. For those of you who are kind of new, I'll do a brief overview of the Environmental Health Division. We provide a broad range of services. We monitor and ensure safe drinking water quality. We permit and inspect all the restaurants you eat at, the mobile home parks, hotels, motels in the county, campgrounds, children's camps, at swimming pools and beaches. We investigate potential exposures to rabies and environmental lead exposures. As well. This year we had almost 350, or so far we've had almost 350 potential rabies incidents that we've had to investigate. We vaccinate over 1,300 cats, dogs, and ferrets at our clinics in an effort to prevent rabies in the county. We permit all of the temporary food vendors that you have or see at our wonderful festivals and other fundraising events throughout the county. We also regulate all the on-site sewage systems, which is what supplies residential sewage for most county residents. And we enforce anti-smoking and tobacco control regulations. So it's a pretty broad spectrum of programs. Last year, we were also the only county in New York State to get the new program for the Healthy Neighborhoods program. And this allows us to go out and to provide services, evaluate homes in target areas to try to create a healthier environment and prevent asthma, other secondhand tobacco smoke, other types of health impacts further down the line. This year, in 2010, we have made reductions in our programs because of the budget. We have eliminated what I consider to be the most effective part of our individual water program, water supply program. We no longer do field visits when homeowners have problems with their drinking water supply well. We have reduced or eliminated assistance to other small public water systems. As a result of retirements in environmental health, we have changed a senior public health sanitarian to a public health sanitarian position at some cost savings. And looking forward to 2011, we have increased the fees for our environmental health services. I'm projecting that we'll increase our revenue from our fees by $22,000. This is about a 9% increase over what we expect to bring in this year. There are some regulatory changes that will increase the burden on our staff in 2011 in the children's camps program and also in our childhood lead poisoning prevention program. They're looking at regulatory changes that could double the workload in those areas. They're small programs, but in those areas it will have a tremendous impact. So if we don't get the OTR, the one full-time sanitarian that's put out as this OTR number 43. The overall effect, one of them, will be an increase in our inspection frequency in almost all of our program areas, in our hotels, in our restaurants, public water supplies, mobile home parks. We'll pretty much have to do an across-the-board reevaluation. This creates public health and safety concerns for me. This year, We have documented in our restaurant inspections 170 potential violations that could cause potential foodborne illness. This is a record number so far, to my knowledge, in our food inspection program. It has also resulted in a record number of enforcement actions for our food programs. We have over 20 enforcement actions this year. We also have a record number of enforcement actions in other areas. Food and our public water supply system seem to be the most effective. We're at over 40 enforcement actions this year, which is more than double what we normally see in any other year. In our on-site sewage program, the main effect would be customers will see delays in services and ability to get their permits, which will be passing on the cost to them if they're waiting to have their sewage system inspected and we can't get staff out there. This will be at the same time that they're paying a higher fee for their services through the Environmental Health Department. We're going through a transition period. We did have three staff retire last year. We have just gone through the training program to train the targeted sanitarian in our difficult rabies program. We're mandated to provide response to rabies, potential rabies incidents, on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. This is done in environmental health on a voluntary basis. So our staff respond to approximately 30 calls per month, most of those on the weekend, on a voluntary basis. And Clayton Mabee, the person whose position, the sanitarian whose position is targeted, handles most of those, or a high number of those calls. Those are our core program impacts. Outside of that, there's gas drilling. I'm expecting a significant new workload as the environmental and public water supply or water supply issues of gas drilling come more into the forefront next year, depending on the actions of New York State DEC. With reductions in staff, it'll be very difficult. We'll have limited or no resources to address these outside issues. So I'd just like to say it's difficult now to meet our state mandates. With the reduction in our staff load, we'll be unable to meet our current mandates. This could possibly affect our ability to receive state aid Article 6 funding. So I request that you consider reinstating this sanitarian into the target budget. Do you have any questions?
Peter?
Pat? Is that new this year, that we are not meeting the mandates of the state in your department?
We're currently meeting.
No, I know, but the one you project for next year, if we don't grant the over targets, will that be the first time that's happened in your department?
To my knowledge, yes. We generally have about a 95% or 98% effectiveness rating. And most of that is things where with the state evaluation program, sometimes you don't get, like if a restaurant changes names but it's the same person, they'll target that as a violation, but then when we discuss it, it's not. So generally, we are in 100% qualitative compliance on our requirements.
And a second question is, to what do you attribute the fact that the number of people that serve food, the number of violations are increasing? Is that because you're getting better at finding problems, or is it really getting worse?
That's all speculation on my part. I don't know if it's, that budget times are tougher and people are having a harder time making ends meet. And, some of our regulations are getting more complicated in the water supply program. I think that was an effect on the water supply. In the restaurant program, I don't really know exactly why that has been the case.
Okay, and my last question is the you described something that you've done for the first time, and I wasn't quite sure what that is, about inspecting home sewage. You know what I'm referring to when you...
We received a grant from the New York State Department of Health for the Healthy Neighborhoods Program, and in that, that funds about 1.5 sanitarian in our division to go out to homes and evaluate their homes. We provide products like smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, lead paint swabs, cleaning products,
right.
things like that to help make their home environment a better place.
But you said something about for the first time we're not going to do something that we have traditionally done earlier in your presentation. Did
we
you not?
We did eliminate our field component of our individual water supply program. So anybody
right.
on a well, we used to go out in the field if they had a problem and called us. We would go out and help. We'd do what we call a sanitary survey, try to evaluate where the problem might be. Is the well constructed? Is there some hazard? Is there drainage?
So what do those people do now if they have a problem?
They call us and we'll talk to them on the phone and refer them to a laboratory or some professional if we can't address it over the phone.
Okay, thanks.
Pat, well,
do we get copies of this information that you just presented?
Yes, gladly. That was easy.
Well,
so if I understood, Liz, if this position were eliminated, you would be able to inspect less frequently.
Yes.
We're doing currently about twice a year, is that correct? Or is
well, it depends on the program. In okay. our food and our restaurant inspection program, we currently do most restaurants twice a year. It's oh. based on their risk.
And what would be if we eliminated this?
Well, that's what we're required to do. So we would have to get the permission of the state health department to cut that inspection frequency, or we would be out of compliance during any type of transition, because it would take a while. We would also probably have to change our sanitary code because you're supposed to do an inspection for every permit year or permit period. So if we issue permits every year, which in some cases that's required in our code, then we're out of compliance if we're not doing the inspections every year.
If I may just add a comment, I have the pleasure of serving on the Board of Health as a representative from this body, and I have it's been a real eye-opener learning about all the many ways that the restaurants can mess up. Previously, I had the joy of being able to go out to a restaurant with full anger. But I have really, really come to appreciate the diligence with which our county is pursuing this and really, really value that. The fact that we can generally go and come away and enjoy a good meal without getting sick is not an accident. And I hope we can keep this in place.
Julie.
And I'm glad that a lot of that information about restaurant inspections gets printed in our paper, even though it's tiny print. It's useful. Liz, this sanitarian position has been recommended by our county administrator to be approved as an OTR, as I read my book.
I think so. I got yeah. kind of confused with how that whole thing was, so I wasn't bringing that up, but I believe so.
Which is, I think, one reason why I won't ask any questions about it, because I agree with his recommendation, and that's true of the last two OTRs that were up, they've also been recommended by the county administrator.
That's correct. He has recommended our nurse, our team leader, the halftime senior account clerk typist, and our sanitarian, as well as we've discussed, the CHA study, which we will be moving forward into this year, and our one-time funding for computers replacement.
Which we haven't gotten to.
No.
Anyone else? Thank you, Earl. Thank you very much.
I'll go through the last couple of items for the department. We have OTR number 44. It's for a halftime administrative assistant. That position is in our administration unit. In 2010, we currently have that position funded at 0.7 of an FTE, and 0.2 of that was one-time funded. So next year, the proposal should have been for 0.5. And again, with the budget recommendations, I made some evaluations, and we have put the halftime position out as an OTR, requesting one-time funding to help us transition and train someone on our staff to pick up the work that position currently does. And the outline of what the administrative position provides is already described in the OTR. That is not recommended by the county administrator, but we would ask to use our rollover funds to permit us to continue the transition. When we approached the 2011 budget, we did have funding one-time money for both this position and another position, and we did start at the reduced level in 2011 in putting our budget together. So The one-time funding has allowed us to complete transition to reduced hours, and we would ask that we continue that option next year. For in 2012, this position would be eliminated.
Yeah, Brenda, that you made me just turn to your rollover page, and so it's pretty surprising. Requested for budget 2011, recommended in 20 is 59, recommended in 2011 35, available for use in 2011-12 is $371,000. Could one of you, Joe, or you explain that?
Some of that carries forward from prior years, and you can see that on the column. With state aid being the way that it's calculated, we never really know until that final claim is filed sometime typically in the first quarter of the following year. It's very difficult for us to project what that might be because it's all on a cash basis. Some of that gets derived from that. Some of it is derived from when revenues actually will come in from payers, including Medicare, Medicaid, third-party insurance. And we don't have control of that. And because we're on a cash basis with the state, it sometimes affects how our state aid is actually paid. In addition, for the last couple of years, we've cautioned staff not to overexpend, not to approach with the use-it-or-lose-it situation, and try to be cautious. We do want to avoid a deficit. We know that if we were to operate with a deficit in 1 year, the next year would be really difficult for us to pay back. These positions that we have out as target requested funding are something that we feel are essential, and that's why we didn't ask to apply rollover to it, to those positions at this time.
But you did ask for rollover for this.
Yes, because I believe that we can develop a transition plan during 2011, and then ultimately in 2012 that position would not exist.
So, Joe, since there's a lot of rollover there, why did you decide not to put it towards that?
It was a position I thought we could exist without. This is that.
Okay. Thank you.
This particular position supports, in the write-up, it's pretty descriptive, supports four other key individuals. In reading what would happen, everybody has to tighten their belt and literally suck it up and do more administrative work. Since this person is already working part-time, how realistic is it that the public health director, the administrator, the medical director, and the health and safety coordinator are really going to be able to pick up the slack and do this themselves? I mean, can you comment on that?
Some of the work, I think, does get picked up. We've started working towards that. The administrative assistant currently does have the 0.7. There are some things that are currently picked up by existing staff as best as they can. We'll also expect some significant changes as to how it impacts our other administrative clerical staff and whether or not when and whether or not those changes will allow us to pick up the work that this person is doing, things like payroll. If the payroll process is simplified, the person that processes payroll may pick up pieces of this work. We have a keyboard specialist who also may be available to pick up some work. So it'll be a sharing of work amongst perhaps the four staff that are listed, but as well as some existing clerical staff that we already have in-house.
And isn't this position supportive of the, isn't it support staff to the Board of Health?
That's correct.
Transferring $20,000 from, going back to Martha's question, from rollover, you don't think is going to significantly impact your rollover line?
No.
Thank you.
To follow up to that, is there any other clerical support for those three positions on the board?
Currently, the administration unit has an administrative coordinator who is primarily responsible for a lot of the finance components. She works pretty closely with me. She handles some facility things, but does a lot of our claims and accounts payables and receivables. We also have a senior account clerk typist who handles a lot of the personnel-related items, contract work for me, those kinds of payroll, general building kinds of work orders, those kinds of items. And then we have a keyboard specialist who is currently funded through our bioterrorism preparedness grant, and we will look at some shifting there as some of that funding becomes known of what's actually going to be available in 2011. We're still waiting to hear from Homeland Security on that final piece in order to put the whole package together.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Last question.
Well, I have an overall question for about the health department.
Well, we're open to overall questions. Go ahead. What? Overall about what? Health department?
About the health department.
Well,
so
go
are
ahead.
We at a point
roll
where.
It out.
We're, okay. So are the over target requests given to us in order of priority that for you?
The over target requests were done, and the first priority was the community health nurse, and then so on down the line. The addition of the certified home health agency was after the department submitted their budget. Because it is an entire program, I believe administration opted to put that out as priority one. All our other items remain in the same priority order that the department submitted them as.
Okay, I don't know exactly how to ask. This is kind of like being asked in public, in front of all of them, which of your children you prefer.
I think I attempted to answer that for Martha when we were talking about the certified home health agency. And the department does not feel comfortable currently rating the entire program against individual positions that are out there. It's a difficult way to look at them when you're looking at a whole program versus impacts in a lot of programs. So we have not ranked them in that fashion.
Is there another take you would do on the budget? Would you want the opportunity to do another take on the budget if we came back to you and said, we're interested in finding ways to get a bunch of the way towards being able to preserve the home health agency program, but can't get all the way there and do all the other over-target requests that are currently in here as well, or all that's in the base budget as well. Would you want another opportunity to look at the budget?
I think for the department to answer really honestly about the certified home health agency, the process of going through an evaluation of the agency to determine what we can or cannot do for that program is absolutely essential. It is something that Sigrid and I discussed and came forward with in the submission of our budget, and I think in order to really appropriately make decisions about the child, that's an absolute must that we must go through that process, and then we will have the information whether we can sustain it or even come close. And at that point, then we might reprioritize. Based on the findings of that study, we might reprioritize all of our OTRs at that time.
Okay, and then one more for Joe. When you said that there was somehow in contingency, if we got halfway through the year and decided not to cut this, where does that show up in our big budget book? Is that what you're saving out of the rollover?
It's under C for contingency. It's on page 24. And you can see that the amount has gone from $806, almost $807,000 in the 2010 budget up to $996,260. And the reason for that increase is the addition of $190,000.
Sorry, page 24 of the main budget?
Yes, page 24 of 300.
Okay.
That's the other half of the year, and it's one-time money.
Okay, thank you.
The last two items, if there aren't any further questions on our
Mike.
Other affairs.
I just wanted to comment and say, if I were in a courtroom, I'd raise my hand and say, ask and answer. And I think Brenda's comments that they can't rate them against each other, I think we should respect that and say that's our job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe after the third time she's answered it, we'll get that. But I don't know. Go ahead, Brenda.
OTR 45, we've talked about, that's the CHI evaluation study. We will be going to Health and Human Services tomorrow afternoon to request permission to start the RFP process. Sigrid and I will be working on that, the actual RFP, but the county policy dictates that we need to go and get permission to at least submit to get those proposals. And the last OTR is OTR number 46. It's for equipment. This is funded with rollover, and it essentially tries to keep us moving in the five-year replacement plan as established by ITS, and you'll notice some of our PCs are 5 to 9 years old, and some are 5 to 6 years old. This just is a routine matter of business for us to move these along. That is it for our OTR. Sigrid already withdrew OTR number 47. Dr. Klepek has joined us as our medical director, who I think would like to offer some kind of closing remarks to our budget submission. Most of you folks have not heard from Dr. Klepek during this particular time, and he has asked to come and speak.
Thanks, and I won't take but a few minutes. I know the hour is very late. And as you know, some of you know me and some of you don't, so let me start by saying that I've been medical director of the health department for 20 years, started in 91, and that's a part-time position. And the rest of my life, professionally, I spend in the practice of family medicine in Dryden, New York. So I see the health department from a number of different perspectives. And I think part of what you're grappling with right now is what I've been seeing and perceiving in my role at the department for the last 10 years, and that's a gradual erosion in our position of being proactive and of being creative. Our budget cuts, the limitations of staff, the reduction in depth of resources make it difficult for us to put a local flavor to public health and a local responsivity. What you're dealing with right now is sort of we're coming down to the bone and we're digging into it. And every step you take, you're talking about program elimination. And that's why Brenda can't rank these issues one versus the other. You're really talking about eliminating programs. We're in great support, as Brenda's made perfectly clear, of studying our CHA, looking to see if we can make that viable. The other issues, the OTRs, they're all important. I want to put a little flavor as a private practicing physician and just give you a little perception how we look at the health department as one of the health department's customers, if you like. When we use the health department, we call upon them for various services. First of all, I'd say the department's responsive. I've worked in a county before I came to Tompkins where we had a partial health department. Not the depth of services, not all the departments. When I had a kid with meningitis and I needed to contact family members and contacts, give them post-exposure prophylaxis, medications to prevent the spread of meningitis, we had to do that on our own. Needless to say, it wasn't necessarily the best of jobs. Couldn't be nearly as thorough as having professionals whose only job is contact investigation. So I have experience on both sides of the coin, and I don't want to go back there again. I don't want to go back there again. It's not good for health. It's not good for the community. Our business is to contain disease, to give people health messages, to cut down Medicaid costs by improving health outcomes, and that's what we should be doing. In terms of contact investigation in this county, it's very efficient. It's been no problem for the practitioners. I've been talking with private practitioners in this county for 20 years about the role of the health department. That's the uniform message. I can talk about rabies care, and in that larger respect, this is 24/7 coverage. That's very demoralizing coverage, folks. I've been on call. I don't have to do it 24/7. I've got a partner, a couple partners, et cetera. But when you've got staff that's having to do 24/7 stuff, A, they've got to really believe in the mission. Hopefully, B, they're being compensated for it in some ways. And to a certain extent, some of our folks only get comp time. They don't get anything else. And you've got to feel like, hey, we've got a really going concern here. To do on-call, day in, day out, et cetera, demoralizing, but essential. And rabies is very difficult calls to get as the staff person. These people are anxious, worried, sometimes frantic, difficult to evaluate. Home health care, quality issues. Practitioner's viewpoint, no problem with the health department. No problem. We've had issues sometimes with getting a client into the other program, but when we want to make it simple for ourselves, we call the health department. That goes for good cases in terms of the cost ratios as well as the more problematical ones. More and more, as the hospitals have more and more need to quickly turn around patients, it's important to quickly discharge them to home health care, places more pressure on the system. If we do a RFP, and Joe, you could comment on this, but our control of what any other agency will do after it would be turned over to them, if it were, would only go as far as the RFP would go. Once it's theirs, it's theirs. So if we come down to that point, you want to make very sure that later on you can tell the public, we picked the best in the business, and that's why you're getting good care. Because if they don't, they can go their own way later on, making whatever business decisions they wish. And we always want to be able to hold our heads up and say we did the best we could. There are issues, you know, with our administrative support. It was brought up about our support for the medical director position and the public health director. These administrative people, I don't have to tell those of you in business, they grease the skids. They make things happen. They facilitate me spending my time on what I do best and they doing what they do best. So we should not underestimate them in any way. So I don't want to spend more of your time at this point. I do want to say that I am concerned. I have not been before you before in the 20 years I've been here. I've put my oar in the water a few times here and there, but I've never come to you at this point. And I'm here tonight physically stating that we are getting to a very serious state. And let's not lose sight of the mission. Thank you.
There are any. There is a question.
No, I would ask Kathy to summarize some of what Dr. Klipak had to say that's not in our budget book.
Thank you, Doctor. Will.
Jim, I'm looking at the clock. We are two and a quarter hours later, just about to start a very, very substantive presentation. My question is, do we have the collective energy to do justice to social services tonight? Can we segment it and continue it if we can't do the whole thing? Or I don't know how much time is truly needed, but I'm worried that we don't give them short shrift.
How does anyone else feel? Peter?
I personally would find it very difficult to have to stay and listen to a complicated presentation. I think if it were possible, I would prefer to see it to come back on Thursday evening and do that.
Martha?
Well, we had a voting meeting scheduled, so everybody right. knew that there was going to be a meeting. Perhaps instead of 5 to 8, it could be a little after dinner time, so maybe 6 to, or 6:30 to 8, if that's, or 5 to 6:30 or something. I would think that, and all these questions have really been important, so, and I think social services is at least as complicated as what we've just been through. I would urge that we do this on Thursday night.
Julie?
Yep. I think it was wise to cancel the voting meeting on Thursday, but since we have Thursday scheduled, doing this at the early part of that day, 5 to 6:30, would sound good to me.
What am I looking at around the table? We did cancel the meeting. I know probably all of you, I will call on you, Carol. All of you have, you got the email that canceled it, or I let you know that. Is 5 o'clock sound reasonable for all of you again? If no one has made plans in the last hour between 5 and 6:30, I think we could probably do it, Carol.
Yeah, I think this is just an important point to raise before people nod or shake their heads. I personally would prefer to wait till Thursday, but I know that the staff from Social Services has sat here all night waiting for their turn and may have other stuff going on in their lives Thursday night. So I just thought maybe we ought to ask them to wait.
Let me get to Dave, and then I will ask that question. Go ahead, Dave.
I just would like to see it moved to 5:30 so I could attend the whole meeting.
Staff is here. I don't want to put you. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
We can be here at 5 on Thursday.
Or 5:30, possibly. 5:30. Okay. We will do that then. Is everyone sort of in agreement with the 5:30?
Yeah.
5:30 to 7, roughly. Sure. Any other comments?
I move we adjourn.
Yeah, well, fine.
Apologies to the staff who've waited. We really want to do you justice, so thank you very much for waiting and coming back.
And let me just explain. We were going to have a little discussion of the head process, but let me just do part of the discussion. When we get to the first voting meeting, there is the opportunity. There is an email that you will be getting, I think was sent out an hour and a half ago, and it will be discussing the motion process that you will go through. And what it amounts to, the first voting meeting, you will be able individually to make motions to amend the budget at that time. And the motions are not the same as a resolution that you would do later on as we get closer to final budget time. What I would want in the motion is, one, the amount that you either are going to add or subtract, whether it's target or OTR, or I'm sorry, one time, and what it does to the levy. And you may contact Kevin and get that answer. And we will have a sheet as you put your motions together, hopefully 48 hours before the next voting meeting, which will be next Monday, I think, right? Yeah, which is scheduled. So you put your motions together, give them to Kevin. We will put them all in the sheet. When you show up here, we will have a very nice document with all the motions that we have to that date. And we will begin the discussion of this thing. And the departments that are included in the motions will be contacted as you get your motions to Kevin. And I'm asking that if we can get 48 hours in advance, that would facilitate us contacting departments and doing that part of it. Julie, you had a question.
How will the order of motions be decided?
That's a good question.
The concern I have is that if we do the most expensive things first,
big items,
we won't get to the little ones ever.
Oh, I see.
So think about it.
Yeah, all right. In any case, whatever we decide on, they will be there, and you will get an opportunity to deal with them one way or another. Kevin, why are you laughing?
Us.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Put them in a hat. Well, we will try to obviously put departments together, so we're not going to be all over the lot. But that would be the amendment process that we would follow. And then we would go on from there. We'll have a further discussion, and a sheet will be sent to you about the whole resolution process that you will use in the budget, the days leading up to final approval of the budget. Dooley.
Is there going to be a rollover discussion anytime? It was mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Anyone want to, Joe, do you want to weigh in on the rollover discussion?
If you want to have it, I guess we could have it after DSS on Thursday. I mean, as I understand, the intent would be to talk about how much has been used, how much is available, and the appropriateness of applying rollover.
Whether we're following our policy.
Right. Yeah. Mike?
I just wondered if at the first voting meeting, are we going to begin with talking about revenues?
About what?
Revenue.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Sure. But again, your amendments should include the plus part, the minus part, if there is one. Oh, is it an OTR? Is it one-time money? Is it target money or one-time money? And Kevin will inform you about what it would do to the levy and so on. Anything else? Nate, you had some experience doing this. Have we got it covered? Okay. Yeah.
For something completely different, there were two cards going around. I hope everybody here has had a chance to sign them both. And if not, you have them both, Julie?
Yeah. I don't know. I've signed them.
Okay.
And here's the other one. Carol, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Can you refresh our memories on the amount currently for each 1%?
1% is $380,000.
But that exact amount could change depending on maybe a go-over of the assumptions from, was it June or whenever we last visited?
Is it going to vary much from that?
Not too much.
No. Okay. Great. So let's assume it's 380.
Thank you.
But Kevin will fill in the blank. Any other questions for anyone? I appreciate the fact that... No, I'm not going to ask you. What? Go ahead.
Just confirmation.
Yeah.
The Capital Programs Committee meeting is canceled for Thursday.
Yes.
This budget committee is back on at 5 o'clock.
At 5:30.
5:30.
Right. And you're on HHS Thursday? No, Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Okay,
HHS.
Sorry. Appreciate the health department hanging around, and obviously you have to if you want to be heard, and you did that well. And Dr. Klapek, thank you for your comments and all of the diligence, due diligence that all of you have done in this. Appreciate your time and energy. Thank you.
We are adjourned.
We are adjourned.